A few years ago, a Time magazine poll revealed that 81% of people in the United States believe in, quote, the existence of heaven where people live forever with God after they die. The poll also showed that ideas vary on exactly what it's like in heaven, although the traditional view is still quite alive, with 43% of those polled saying they believe in harps and 36% in halos in the heavenly abode. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
In March 1997, the people of the United States were shocked to hear of the largest mass suicide in the nation's history. 39 members of the religious group Heaven's Gate were found in a beautiful California mansion, each dressed in black pants, black shirt, and new athletic shoes, after killing themselves with a mixture of drugs, alcohol, and asphyxiation. Police were surprised by the obvious lack of trepidation, and according to videos and letters left behind, even elation experienced by the cult members as they prepared to leave this world. Brought together by a religious smorgasbord of Christianity, New Age, paganism, and science fiction, and spurred by a belief that the Hale-Bopp comet was an apocalyptic sign, these people killed themselves in order to travel to a better place of existence. It is initially unfathomable to consider the suicide of healthy people who want to die, believing that a better life awaits them. Sometimes it's easier to understand the death wish of someone who is terminally ill and suffering. Yet most people hope for and desire an afterlife, a consciousness after this life ends, void of suffering and grief. Many Christians believe that when a person dies, he or she goes to heaven. Over the centuries, there have been many Christian views of heaven. The term often refers to the realm where God dwells. There's been much speculation on what happens to those who go there, from spending eternity gazing into the face of God to an actual place where the saints interact with God, angels, and, of course, each other. Mostly, it's thought of as a nebulous hereafter where good people go to experience eternal bliss. The 1998 movie What Dreams May Come, starring Robin Williams, presented heaven as a place where the departed create their own sort of egocentric universe. It's a lonely and perfect place of eternity. Curiously, in this version of heaven, God is nowhere to be found. When we go to the Bible, we find numerous descriptions of heaven as the abode of God. The Apostle John claims that he was taken into heaven in a vision and writes about what he experienced in the book of Revelation. He describes heaven this way: "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.'" John continues, "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back." Is this the realm of the promised afterlife for those who believe in the God of the Bible? By the way, in our next segment, we'll be talking with an author who has written an important booklet on this subject titled, "Heaven or Hell? What Does the Bible Really Teach?" Jesus makes a startling statement about heaven as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, go get one and follow along. He says in reference to himself as the Christ, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man." Jesus claims that he's the only one who has ascended into heaven. If Jesus is the only one to go to heaven, what happened to all the great men and women of faith throughout history? To answer that, we must first look at some often misunderstood biblical concepts of heaven. Have you ever noticed that many biblical references to heaven are plural? They actually say heavens. In Scripture, heaven can have more than one meaning. Often it refers to the earth's atmosphere, where we see the, quote, birds of heaven, or where the windows of heaven often open to bring rain. It can also refer to what we call outer space, the realm of the moon, the planets, other galaxies, the physical universe. A third reference concerning heaven is the throne of God. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes about a vision of what he calls paradise, which he says was in the third heaven. Now, the heaven Jesus was talking about when he said no one had ascended into heaven but himself is this third heaven, the very throne of God. John also records another discourse by Jesus Christ where he explains why he came to earth from heaven in the first place. So turn to your Bibles to John 6, verse 38. Jesus Christ says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, what does Jesus mean when he says he will raise someone up at the last day? The resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God is absolutely essential to the Christian faith. In fact, there is no Christian religion without the belief that Jesus rose from the grave, came back from the dead, and was seen by his apostles. The scriptures demand Christians to accept that Jesus died and experienced a bodily resurrection 3 days and three nights later. Now, let's look at what the Apostle Paul writes to Christians in ancient Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22-24. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." Notice that Paul says that all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Jesus Christ is the first to be raised from death to eternal life. Paul then says, afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. In numerous places in his writings, the Apostle Paul refers to death as sleep. Is it possible that the common belief that people go to heaven after they die is not what the Bible actually teaches? In the next segment, we'll be taking a really hard look at the question, when I die, will I go to heaven? So don't go away.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. And most people cling to the notion that God sends those who die unsaved to an ever-burning hell to be tormented forever. But instead, the scriptures consistently teach that each person who dies remains in his grave, having no consciousness or pain until God resurrects him. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? You can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We welcome to Good News Radio Noel Horner, author of Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? He's with us today on a telephone hookup from Portland, Oregon. Thanks for being on the show with us today, Noel.
It's a pleasure, Gary. Glad to be back here again.
Well, there are a lot of ideas about what heaven is really like. In Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? You claim that the Bible doesn't actually promote that we go to heaven after we die. Does the Bible promise any life after death?
It definitely does, Gary. The scripture many people know, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the Bible teaches anything, it promises that there is life after death, that is eternal life for Christians. In Mark 10:30, for example, Jesus said that those who make certain sacrifices in their service to God will be rewarded in the age to come, and he said they will be given eternal life. Today, atheists dispute life after death, agnostics deny it, or doubt it, I should say. Up to around the 19th century, belief in life after death was the overwhelming view. You can look at headstones of that period, and often it would say the deceased entered eternal life on such and such date, the date of their death. In the 19th century, this belief began to be questioned.
Okay, so if the Bible does teach that there's life after death, and yet heaven is not the reward of the saved, what is the reward of the saved?
The Bible teaches we will inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was the thrust of Jesus' message. Jesus mentions the kingdom of God as the future expectation no less than 76 times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus unequivocally said that the kingdom will be upon this earth.
Okay, but let's look at some scriptures that really do appear and indicate that people go to heaven when they die. In the Old Testament, there's a reference to the prophet Elijah. And it says in 2 Kings 2, verse 11, speaking of Elijah, that he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Doesn't that clearly state that Elijah went to heaven to be with God?
Well, the Bible does say that Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But as you mentioned in your earlier remarks, there is more than one heaven in the Bible. Some of our listeners may have seen the rather sensational movie Twister. This movie attempts to illustrate the power of tornadoes, and does a rather good job, I think. But it shows cows being picked up and tossed about in the air and then dropped in another place. Now, in that movie, those cows were taken to heaven temporarily. That is, they were taken up into the heaven where the birds fly. But this is what happened to Elijah. If you read the entire account, you see that Elijah was whisked away and was simply removed from the scene to another place on this earth. There's no reason to think that Elijah went to the heaven of heavens. That place is reserved for God and the angels at this time. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "The heaven of heavens is the Lord your God's." This expression is talking about the highest heaven or the third heaven, to which Jesus said in John 3:13, as you mentioned, that no man has gone to. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man." So Elijah did not go to the highest heaven. He was simply taken up into the air and transported to another place. I have explained this more completely in the book, Heaven and Hell. Interestingly, the former followers and students of Elijah knew to look for their leader Elijah in another place. It shows in the context of the scripture that they went to their new leader Elisha. They were concerned about Elijah. They were concerned that he'd been dropped off perhaps in a wilderness area, so they went about searching for him. They didn't find him at that time. But the fact that they searched for him shows that they knew he was still upon the earth. And then, in addition, there's another passage later on in the Bible that proves conclusively that Elijah did not go to heaven, in that we find Elijah writing a letter to King Jehoram. This letter proves that the prophet was alive on earth after the occasion when he was whisked up into heaven.
But don't we have the example in the New Testament that Jesus, when he's on the cross, he tells the thief along beside him that he would be with him in heaven on that very day?
Well, that's what has been traditionally believed. Jesus said, I'll quote Luke 23:43, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, let's first ask, what is the meaning of the word paradise? There are only two other places in the New Testament. In both places where that word paradise is used, it refers to the place of God's presence. One is 2 Corinthians 12. The other is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, putting these scriptures together, we can see that the paradise mention in which men will dwell is at a future time when they are to be in the presence of God. Now, if you just look at the rest of the scriptures that pertain to this event, the Bible clearly shows that Jesus didn't ascend to paradise on the day that he died. Scripture says clearly his body was buried, He went to the grave, and 3 days and three nights later, he arose from the grave. So if it is obvious then the dying criminal could not have joined Jesus in paradise that day, because Jesus didn't go to paradise. He said he was buried. Sometime later, after Christ had been resurrected, and he associated with some of his followers, he told them at that time, he said, "Do not touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now, that was in John 20, verse 17. So that's a full 3 days after his death. He has not yet gone to God. And so Jesus didn't go to paradise or heaven at the time that he died. I should add that the reason this verse is misunderstood is the original Greek language had no punctuation, no punctuation marks added. And so people who approach this subject, including the translators, with the preconception that the thief went to paradise or to heaven that day, place the comma in a position in the sentence that would lend some belief to the idea that that was where the thief went on that day.
It's a fascinating topic, and we have much more to cover right after this message.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? In our free booklet, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headline.
We're back with Noel Horner, author of Heaven or Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? We've been talking about how, according to the Scriptures, we don't go to heaven immediately upon death. Now, if a person doesn't go directly to heaven upon death, then what happens to us at the moment we die?
When a person dies, he's buried, of course, and the conscious entity that was the deceased person and the character of that individual simply loses consciousness. He enters a state of sleep. The Bible very specifically refers to death as sleep. It's not a normal sleep, of course. It's a sleep in which there's no brain activity or life whatsoever. But in Old and New Testaments, we find this to be the case. For example, in the third chapter of the book of Job, the Old Testament, Job, due to a lot of severe trials that he was going through, was wistfully wishing that he had died at birth. And he said, in reference to that, he said, "I would have been asleep." And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, in reference to the resurrection at Christ's return, Paul referred to those who would be brought up out of the grave to join Christ at his return as also being asleep.
Earlier you said that the reward of the saved is the earth. Now, if a person doesn't go to heaven at death, then when does he or she receive this reward if they're asleep?
We receive eternal life at the end of this present world. Christ will return. The dead in Christ will be raised and given eternal life. The Bible teaches that, quote, in the age to come, Jesus will return from heaven to the earth and establish the kingdom of God right here upon the earth. At that moment, the dead will be raised from the grave in a general resurrection and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is what the apostles taught throughout their entire lives. This is what the New Testament teaches. This was also being taught in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, and as I mentioned earlier, up into the 5th century. There was a parallel teaching at that time when the concept of heaven begin to come into vogue alongside the biblical teaching. This developed when Christianity encountered philosophy of that era. Greek philosophy had an ingrained prejudice against the concept of resurrection. Acts 17 shows this. As Christianity encountered philosophers of that day, some philosophers accepted some tenets of Christianity, but they mingled it with their own views that they'd had already. And many of the writers of that era believed in heaven and the immortal soul, replaced the idea of the resurrection with the twin concepts of heaven and the immortal soul. And they taught against the resurrection. In effect, they changed biblical teaching and incorporated that change into Christianity. There was a battle for some time as to which doctrine would triumph. Historian Paul Johnson tells us in his work, The History of Christianity, that there was a time when the idea of the general resurrection and of going to heaven being presented side by side. The idea that one goes to heaven at death won out in popular circles in Christianity. That doesn't change what the Bible says, of course. The whole idea of one going to heaven at death is not in the Bible, but Christianity absorbed this idea from non-biblical sources.
Does the Bible tell us what a person will be like in the resurrection?
It does. We will experience a bodily resurrection. In that life, we will retain separate identities, we'll recognize one another, friends and family of this life. We'll share the likeness of Jesus Christ. We see in the Bible we'll have glorified bodies. We will not be restricted by the limitations that we are under as mortal men. For example, we'll be able to pass through walls as Jesus did. It's going to be a pleasurable existence. Psalm 16:11 says, At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. For example, we'll be able to eat food if we wish, though we won't need it to survive. But we'll be able to enjoy that pleasure. We'll also enjoy the phenomenon of instant travel, a little bit of Star Trek experience here that many of our listeners no doubt are familiar with.
On the program today, we're offering the booklet we've been talking about, Heaven or Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, which contains fascinating information on what the Bible actually teaches about the reward of the saved. So I encourage every one of you to call. It's toll-free. The booklet's free. It's 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 to receive your free copy. We also want to thank you, Noel, for being on the program with us today. We hope you'll join us again.
I would be happy to, Gary.
Jesus made some important comments to his disciples on the night before his death, as recorded in John 14, 1-4, where Jesus says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus said he's coming back. He's returning to receive those who are alive and those who will be resurrected. The resurrection isn't a theory of some nebulous existence as a disembodied spirit, but a promise of a bodily resurrection to life of eternal energy, eternal creativity, eternal goodness as the children of God. This resurrection takes place when Christ returns to establish his Father's kingdom here on this earth. The Christian future is much more spectacular than the view of heaven as a place of eternal repose without meaning or personal purpose. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Comments and suggestions for Good News Radio, both pro and con, are welcome. Email us at gnradio@ucg.org. And join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. And most people cling to the notion that God sends those who die unsaved to an ever-burning hell to be tormented forever. But instead, the scriptures consistently teach that each person who dies remains in his grave, having no consciousness or pain until God resurrects him. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.